Coast to Coast AM because I feel obligated to make up to the universe for Hellboy 2. What a disappointment. It'll be the number one movie in the box office this weekend, but I don't care. It could have been so great. It could have been awesome. And it was a total vanity project for Guillermo del Toro, whom I respect, but man, he just went overboard on the whole special effects thing. And I don't understand half the things that were happening in the movie. I said, what are we doing? Why are we here? Let's move this along. Why are we in Ireland? It drove me crazy. Honestly did. But it's too bad, too, because there was some real fun stuff to Hellboy, too, and I just love the whole Hellboy franchise. But no, Dark Horse, no. Let's hold out higher hopes this week for Batman's new incarnation as the Dark Knight, you know, the new Batman movie, the first Batman movie to not have Batman in the title, The Dark Knight. And this is getting terrific pre-reviews from people who have seen samples of the work, people who have seen Heath Ledger's work. They say that this is going to be an amazing production. In fact, that Heath Ledger's take on the Joker will remind you of Jack Nicholson, as one reviewer wrote, but not Jack Nicholson as the Joker in the first Michael Keaton Batman movie, but no, as Jack Nicholson in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. It'll remind you of that Jack Nicholson. It's that good. And that Heath Ledger could be getting a posthumous Academy Award for this performance in a superhero comic book movie. Duh. Could that be better? They have added extra shows all over the country. You've heard that. I've got my tickets. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to that. And also, too, I don't know if you've heard, but Warner Brothers is in talks right now with DC Comics about creating movie franchises around some new DC characters, not just Superman and Batman, but actually going a little deeper into the vault. The Hollywood Reporter and Variety say that the move follows from, obviously, Marvel Studios' big screen success with Iron Man and with Dark Horse Comics and what they've been able to do. Speculation has already begun about which comics might be hitting the big screen. The Green Lantern and Nightwing are being mentioned. Wonder Woman reaching cinemas following from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which in one story I read said this would fulfill creator Josh Whedon's unfulfilled wish to adapt the comic and TV series for the big screen. Wait, didn't it start with a movie? It was a movie first, and then it was a TV show, I thought. Well, DC Comics should pick carefully, though. They shouldn't get drunk on the success of the Hulk and Iron Man. They should take their time, lest they choose Action Boy or Animal Vegetable Mineral Man. Did you ever see that one? I think he was actually a super villain, but you get the point. Animal Vegetable Mineral Man. This sounds so funny. Rock, paper, scissors, man. And don't go for the old DC comic character Gunfire. Do you ever see Gunfire? Anything he picks up can be used as a gun. Anything he touches. So it could be a pencil, a bagel, a Twizzler. It's just a dumb comic book. Got to be careful. One thing cool, though, about Hellboy goes back to our conversation that we had last night on Coast to Coast AM about The Full Burn, this book about stuntmen and the true story of how these stunts are pulled off. Kevin Conley was our guest, and I was really looking at how many of these stunts were just, you know, they were stuntmen, the fight scenes, the really tricky stuff, were either the main actors or stuntmen in costume. And I didn't catch any CGI. There's lots of special effects, of course, but I didn't see that. So anyway, that's one thing good you can say about Hellboy 2 and a couple of funny gags. But man, that was one long movie. So we'll have a great show tonight about something which is incredibly cool on its own right. Don't know if it could ever be a movie, but it certainly would inspire one. Explorers of the Infinite. That's a book by Maria Coffey. She is an extreme adventurer herself, but she's also a writer, and she has chronicled for the first time the paranormal, near-death, truly bizarre experiences of extreme athletes. The things they experience when they get in the zone. And we'll find out more about that. The ghost stories, the amazing spiritual, bizarre, out-of-body experiences they have when they are walking across the North Pole or they're climbing some rock face, and some of the things that these extreme athletes have done that leads Maria Coffey to say that perhaps extreme sports is one way to open a kind of portal between our dimensions. Sound pretty edgy? It is, and we'll talk about it coming up next hour. We'll do open lines coming up later on this hour, and I'll give you the theme next when we tackle some stories. The Beatles were actually a Christian band. The latest evidence of UFOs over President Bush's ranch. In one church I'll never be invited to preach in, and neither will Samuel L. Jackson. We'll get to all those stories and your calls this hour. Crypto news next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Right, again, so we'll do open lines this hour. So if you want to, you can go ahead and start calling now. And if you don't have the numbers, you can get them at coasttocoastam.com, where you can always link up to some great stories and to my blog and to other stuff with George and what he's doing this week. And you can learn more about Maria Coffey coming up next hour. Can't wait to do this show. You're going to really enjoy this. The paranormal experiences of extreme athletes. It's first time ever thing. I've never heard of these stories before, and I can't wait to share them with you coming up on Coast to Coast AM. In an unheard interview with John Lennon, the singer revealed what he believed to be the truth behind the Beatles, that the Beatles were, at its core, a Christian band. The star famously caused controversy, of course, after claiming in 1966 that the Fab Four were, quote, bigger than Jesus, and predicting Christianity would vanish and shrink. But in a previously undiscovered 1969 interview with Lennon, aired for the first time on the BBC on Sunday, the singer claims his infamous remark was totally misunderstood. I've heard that before, but not this. He even said he hoped his music would encourage people to turn to the Christian faith. John Lennon told a reporter in 1969, "It's just an expression, meaning the Beatles seem to me to have more influence over youth than Christ." Now, I wasn't saying that was a good idea, because I'm one of Christ's biggest fans. And if I can turn the focus on the Beatles onto Christ's message, then that's what we're here to do. That's what he said back then. 11 years after making that claim, however, John Lennon would be dead from 4 hollow point .357 Magnum bullets fired by Mark David Chapman, who claimed he killed the former Beatle in the name of Christ. And the song that used to make Chapman the angriest? Imagine. You know, like it or hate it, you know you're twisted when Imagine makes you want to blow your top or somebody else's. Speaking of which, Associated Press reports, a volcano erupted Saturday with little warning on a remote island in Alaska, sending residents of a nearby ranch fleeing from falling ash and volcanic rock. Cool. The Akhmok caldera erupted late Saturday morning, just hours after seismologists at the Alaska Volcano Center began detecting a series of small tremors. The explosion flung an ash cloud at least 50,000 feet high, said geophysicist Steve McNutt. 10 people, including 3 children, were at Fort Glenn, a private cattle ranch 6 miles south of the volcano on Unmak Island, located in the western Aleutians, about 860 miles southwest of Anchorage. They were later picked up by a fishing boat, which responded to a Coast Guard request for emergency assistance. The ranch residents had managed to call military police on Kodiak Island on a satellite phone before losing their connection, according to the Coast Guard. When nobody's hurt or killed, volcanoes are the coolest. In particular, I love the nighttime videos of lava flows. So I'm looking forward to good stuff coming from this island. They are almost the coolest of nature gone wild videos, nighttime lava flows. The best would be the volcanic creation of an entire island, I think. Or maybe even better, the volcanic destruction of an entire island. That would be awesome. Or maybe even better, the volcanic creation of a Bigfoot island by UFOs. Is that asking for too much to be caught on video? Have you heard about the latest UFO evidence? This comes out of the Star Telegram in Texas. Matt Frazier and Mark Agee wrote, FAA radar confirms, or at least appears to confirm, the presence of unidentified craft on January 8th over the Stephenville, Dublin area, with at least one appearing to head toward President Bush's Crawford Ranch, the same night that dozens of people reported seeing UFOs. Now, this according to a report released Thursday by MUFON. The FAA radar indicated that several craft were moving in the same compass direction and time frame as those sighted by county residents. The craft were not military, did not have transponders that relay information about themselves to radar operators. Radar tracked a Crawford-bound craft for more than an hour, according to the MUFON report. Witnesses said they saw two large glowing amber lights similar in size and color to the lights on the back of a school bus. The object seemed to be stationary or moving at speeds of less than 60 miles an hour most of the time, but at one point it accelerated to 532 miles per hour in 30 seconds, according to the report. It did not reach, however, the Crawford Ranch property. Quote, the object was traveling to the southeast on a direct course toward the Crawford Ranch. The last time the object was seen on radar at 8 p.m., it was continuing on a direct path to President Bush's Crawford Ranch and was only 10 miles away. During the entire episode of over an hour, there is no indication that any of the military jets reacted to this unknown aircraft. Okay, what's that about? Can we get to that in open lines? Anybody want to throw a thought on that out? According to the FAA radar, the UFOs turn around at the Crawford Ranch property line, basically, of President Bush, and no military jets are scrambled to meet them or turn them away. What? You got a thought on that? I'd love to hear it coming up in just a minute. Also, Cryptomundo reports a 7-foot Sasquatch has been spotted near Chilliwack, B.C., according to witnesses. Two local Sasquatch hunters are convinced the sightings are real. Quote, there was a legitimate sighting, not a bear, not a deer, or anything else, said Bill Miller, full-time Sasquatch hunter who lives in Harrison Hot Springs. The Sasquatch was sighted on June 19th at 2 a.m. when a husband and wife were traveling down the mountain after watching the city lights from a lookout point. Yeah, making out. The wife was busy fiddling with CDs when the creature crossed in front of them. He grabbed his wife's arm and said, did you see that guy across the road? His wife started asking him questions like, what was he wearing? The man said he wasn't wearing anything. He was just really hairy. She asked how tall he was. He just said that he was really big. Finally, she asked, was it the Sasquatch? No, he replied. It couldn't have been. There's no such thing as the Sasquatch. All right, that's right. And if you're in the South and you're asking around for a snake handling church, snake handling doesn't happen anymore either. Snake handling doesn't exist, right? Still, the story out of Rankford, Kentucky, the pastor of a Kentucky church that handles snakes in religious rites was among 10 people arrested by wildlife officers in a crackdown. More than 100 snakes, many of them deadly, like copperheads, 42 copperheads, 11 timber rattlesnakes, and 3 cottonmouth water moccasins, a western diamondback rattlesnake, 2 cobras, and a puff adder were taken from the home of Gregory James Coots, a pastor at a Full Gospel Tabernacle in Jesus' Name in Middlesboro. It's a simple, nondescript church. The pastor has no listed telephone number and could not be reached for comment. There was no phone listing for the church. So go ahead and headline this story then. Snakes on a plane, white church. Snakes on a plane, white church. In the mood for some unconventional spirituality, it's a little safer to try cymatics. Very interesting story. Found this on the web at a website called What Jamie Found. I'll put a link up on my blog. It's the study of the effects of sound waves on physical items. such as you've seen in the work of Dr. Emoto, right? Been discussed on this show. He does water work, fascinating patterns. Well, you can do the same thing with salt and a metal table. You have to go to the website, see it for yourself. Let me just make one click here, and then boom, I think my blog is up. You can go to my blog at coasttocoastam.com. You can link onto the video, which shows the salt patterns created on a metal table using sound waves. It's very, very cool. I hope you enjoy it. One caution, it drove my dog crazy, the high frequencies. You might want to turn it down a little bit. Let's get to the open lines east of the Rockies. Larry is in Somerville, Massachusetts, to get us started on Coast to Coast AM. Larry?
Yes, how are you, sir?
I'm doing very well.
God bless you, sir. Listen, I have a story. It's a three-phase UFO sighting. September 30th, 1976, my mother and I were on Route 111 going to Groton, Massachusetts. And I happened to say to my mother while we were on Route 111, I says, Ma, look at that star way up above. That doesn't look right. It's too obvious. It's too big. So she says, yeah, so what? So I didn't tell her this until after we experienced what I'm going to tell you. I said, if you are what I think you are, come down, but don't scare me. So it came down within less than, I'd say, 15 seconds, come over my car. And both of us, my mother and I, witnessed it up over the car, at least, I'd say, 60 to 100 feet up over the car. It was jagged, winged, with five lights on each tip of the wing. And it was triangular in shape, but more like bat wing shaped. There was no sound. It was dark black metallic. And then I drove into a, because of fear, I drove into a shopping center, which at the time, this was between the hour of 10 p.m. and 11 p.m. This happened within an hour, the sighting.
Did anybody else see it? Did anybody else see it with you?
My mother did, yes. She said.
Did you call it into the police?
I called it into the police after we got to my sister's place. That's why we were going to Groton, Mass. From Somerville here.
Did they confirm that other people saw it too?
Well, it followed us over treetop after coming up over the car.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like the kind of thing that happened in Stephenville. But there were lots of witnesses. So have you checked with the local people to see whether anybody else saw it too?
Well, this is what happened. We got finally to Route 111 at the Lawrence Home Estates in Groton, Massachusetts. It was a 42-room mansion. My sister had an apartment there. And I'm turning around, pointing now back towards Boston. So I says, Ma, there's that same object. So I took a 6-volt lantern, a flashlight I had in the backseat of the car. She says, what are you doing? I'm signaling to it. Why are you doing that? Because I want to see if that's the same object. So within three times signaling to it, it started to move like a 4th of July sparkler in the sky. Next thing I know, within the fourth try, it came down right at the car, up over the highway. I froze. My mother says, now look what you did. I drove into the grounds of the Lawrence Home Estates. And I looked around, and there it was over the highway. It looked like a...
Well, then somebody had else to have seen this other than you. I mean, for this to be floating over a highway and for this to be so visible, I hope you reported this in. And I mean, this should have been in the Globe. I mean, I hope this isn't the first time you're telling this story and you're getting people to pay attention to it, because this is... If this happened to you and the story is true, you've got a lot of witnesses and perhaps even some video out there. And that's the kind of thing that that everybody's looking for, is that kind of proof that we can get into the mainstream media, just like this story out of Stephenville. You ought to check to see whether the local airport had anything that that registered a some sort of object that was flying in the area. And by all means, get back to us on that and let us know. Well, okay, so let's we got a full boat of open lines ready to get to coming up in just a second. Love to hear what you have to say. And on the way too, then coming up next hour, while you're looking at that video I told you about that I linked up on my blog about the effect of sound waves on salt on a metal table, while you're having that spiritual experience, then stand by for Explorers of the Infinite. Coming up next hour, what the secret lies of extreme athletes and what they reveal about near-death experiences, psychic communication, and touching the beyond. Next hour on Coast to Coast AM, this is Ian Punnett. Just going into another half hour of open lines, and then we'll go into the infinite coming up with Maria Coffey. You might know her from her National Geographic specials. She is an extreme, I guess it's fair enough to call her an extreme adventurer, but she's sort of like an extreme vacationer. Probably what she's better known for, taking groups of people into the planet's thin places, as the Celtics would call it, into those hidden places. That's her website, too, hiddenplaces.net. And she's written this book about the hidden experiences of extreme athletes, revealing many of these stories for the very first time. And we'll get to that coming up next hour. Some of the things, most unbelievable things that you might never think would happen while you're in the middle of a major sporting event or something of the like. We'll tell you more about that coming up next hour on Coast to Coast AM. Looking forward to finding out where you're going to take us. In the meantime, Open Lines continues next on Sunday night, Coast to Coast AM with Ian Punnett. It's west of the Rockies for Joe in Las Vegas on Coast to Coast AM for Open Lines. Joe, where are you going to take us?
Well, first thing is, I'm just, after doing all my research personally and everything I could possibly ascertain, I don't believe an alien ship crashed in Roswell. I still honestly believe it's a weather balloon.
Okay.
I mean, in all honesty, there's, you would think Truman, who was president at the time, I think he probably might have let something out of the bag that aliens might have crashed after a significant period of time before Eisenhower got in. But if you look at it,
What would be the motivation for Truman letting that out before Eisenhower came out? Why would he want it? Why you say that so conclusively, but I don't think I understand why you would link those two things.
Well, if you look at it, Truman was technically, he took over after Roosevelt, and if there was an actual serious threat like that of, quote, aliens visiting us, which I still believe, yeah, they actually are. They're checking us out, making sure if they want to deal with us or let us destroy ourselves. But it's the whole thing where, if you look at it, Truman was a little bit more closer for the people, as much as Eisenhower did try to do some good. But if you look at Truman, I think he probably would have been a little more subtle and let the cat out of the bag, so to speak, rather than just hide it all behind so-called Area 51 and everything else.
You know, I guess I don't have any facts and evidence of Truman's personality that would lead me to that conclusion. I mean, I could surmise that just because of the fact that nothing came out, but I don't know that I would say that's true about Truman. I think he might have been somebody who was used to keeping a secret, and that if there was a need, if they felt a perceived need to keep a secret, Truman could do it as well as anybody.
That's true, but if you look at it, I think he was, if something like that were as big as it was, as much as Jesse Marcel and his son were both involved in this, the chances are, all the evidence and whatnot, I think they probably would have let it out slowly, not quite as, and hiding it behind all these secrets and conspiracies and whatnot just proves the theory that people have too much time on their hands.
Well, you may be right. I mean, it either happened or it didn't. I mean, that's the truth of it, is it either happened or it didn't. But just because it took years for it to come out, it doesn't say to me that indicates absolutely that it didn't happen. Lots of things in history we know are slow to be revealed. They come out in dribs and drabs, and then we put the pieces together later on. Gulf of Tonkin is another good example of that, and that's, you know, everybody knows it's a real event, but our perception of what it was that happened, you know, back in the 60s, and what our perception was then and what our understanding is now are kind of two different things. For that matter, remember the main. Anyway, Agnes is in Galveston, Texas on Coast to Coast AM. Agnes?
Yes, hi, Ian. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, just a couple of points. I had heard on the Discovery Channel someone explaining that they believed that we were the crossbreeding of apes and the terrestrials, and that our digestive tracts are pretty much, you know, like the apes and, you know, frugivores. And I thought that was a pretty interesting concept.
Do you believe that's, is that true for you, do you think?
Well, I don't know if in fact the people are being brought into a laboratory type environment on these ships. It's possible that, you know, a lot of testing and then DNA extraction that they talk about.
Okay.
You know, so it's an interesting concept. Did you bring up about sound waves on salt on metal table?
I did.
Okay. A gentleman who used to be in the radio business, and I'll be happy to send you this video about him, took a pie pan in the middle of the night. He woke up in a dream, and he came up with a where he generated radio waves through his wife's pie pan with salt water, and he's actually has a flame actually glowing, and it is heating a piston. And I'll be happy to send that to you.
Interesting. Well, thank you.
He's got that for sale, but the reason why he's selling that is because he has come up with another concept that apparently he had this dream about, was putting precious metals next to the cancer cells.
Yeah, I think I saw this guy on 60 Minutes, actually, and it's he's a very interesting guy for that. And sure, go ahead and send me the link. Take a look at the link of what I was talking about. If you go to coasttocoastam.com, go to my blog. You'll see the tab for my blog. It's on the left of the screen. And if you scroll down to the bottom there, it'll take you to the link that'll show you this the interesting work, kind of like what Dr. Emoto was doing, but with salt. Dan is in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, on Coast to Coast AM for Open Lines. Hey, Dan, where are you going to take us?
Well, I'm going to take you to what I think is the only solution to what Art might call the quickening, and okay. George Murray kind of hints around, and the impending, what I feel, the impending economic doom of the United States. Yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, I'm not just talking about Freddie Mac and Indy Mac and all this stuff, because I hear with that Moody Investors is saying the Feds are watching 90 banks.
Okay.
George constantly talks about, you know, he sends an impending doom. And I think it's happening. And, you know, the ironic thing is neither party is really going to have anything that sounds like to address this.
Okay.
I have an idea. I don't know if it's the only idea, but, you know, I'm sounding it off on you. A citizen oil company, no nationalization of oil companies, because we'll let the big oil do what they want.
But you already talked about this, right, Dan?
Well, the thing is I talked about it briefly, but the thing is now this perfect storm is gathering over our head.
No, I get that. No, I thought that was...
I mean, this is big because
right.
I think it could make 1929 pale in comparison.
I understand that. So you're linking your concept of the citizen oil company, if we all pooled in our resources and then created sort of a national oil company, and then we shared the profits, be a way to avoid that kind of catastrophe. I still think the capital investment on that is so enormous that I can't imagine we could pull it off, but I'd be interested in your continued leadership on that. So I hope you get something going online or something, and we'll follow it. Larry is in Kentucky on Coast to Coast AM on the Wildcard Line. Larry?
Hello, man.
Hello. Man. Where are you going to take us?
Well, how would you like to go into the hills of Kentucky and look for a Bigfoot?
I love the hills of Kentucky. I spent a month in Appalachia.
Well, I'd just be up around Cave Run.
Okay.
Forehead.
And you say there's a Bigfoot up there?
Well, a lot of people think there is.
And you haven't seen anything personally yet?
No, all I saw was a deer hung up in a tree.
Yeesh. Well... Yeah, that'd be interesting. Now, so what do the locals call him?
Bigfoot.
Okay. I didn't know if they had a local nickname, because in Florida, there's the skunk ape, you know, and different places have different nicknames. Well, if you get anything more, you make sure you give us a contact, and we'll be following that story in the news. Love to see something like that. Love to get video. I just think it's coming. I just don't know when. International Line, Kevin is in Canada on Coast to Coast AM. Kevin?
Hello, Ian. Yes, it's Kevin from Iroquois Falls, Ontario.
Nice to talk with you. Where are you going to take us?
Well, on behalf of the International Paranormal and UFO Society, we'd like to congratulate you on your ordination recently.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
And speaking also about... Speaking on behalf of IPIS, you talked about UFOs that wouldn't cross the line over...
Yeah, what do you think that's about? They come right up to the Crawford Ranch. According to the FAA record and the radar record, it shows this object going toward the Crawford Ranch of President Bush and then essentially turning around, and no evidence at all of a military jet being scrambled. How does that happen?
Well, I think it goes back to the Operation Paperclip, which happened back in the 1940s, where there was some recovered UFO material that we back engineered. And I do strongly believe that a lot of the flying discs that we do see are actually back engineered extraterrestrial technology, which are flown by the U.S. military. And I think that I don't think aliens give a darn about any restricted zone. So I strongly believe that. Those UFOs that we're seeing that wouldn't cross that line are military UFOs because they're following the rules about restricted airspace.
Hmm. All right. Interesting. I hadn't thought about that way. I guess it'd be nice of them to think that they would observe our restricted lines, but even still, it just surprises me there was no military jet scrambled just to go up and eyeball that thing. But thank you, Kevin, and say hi to the rest of the folks in the Federation. Grant is in New Mexico. Open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Grant?
Hey, Ian, you've been having some fantastic shows, landmark shows. Last night was great, incidentally.
Wasn't that Rand Corporation thing interesting? I really enjoyed that.
And what you've been doing, and I hope you continue doing it, is you keep pulling back the curtain a little bit, and everybody gets to see a little bit more, and it's the questions you ask are fantastic. So,
well, thank you. I think you're going to enjoy tonight. I really do. I think this is a really interesting topic, and I love doing something that's never been done before on Coast to Coast, and I think that's what we have coming up in about 15 minutes. But where are you going to take us?
Well, what the gentleman said before I got on is just basically that those UFOs would have to, in my opinion, be our aircraft because there's no way that we wouldn't set up send jets or something to scramble to try and intercept those. But there's some proof to that, too. There's a gentleman in England that, and you probably remember this, he broke into the some national security sites on the Internet, and what he found was that the U.S. had actually, an interstellar air force, and he found the names and different things like that. He also discovered that we also had some high technology as far as energy and different things like that. And why I think the guy's telling the truth is because the United States has been trying to get him prosecuted and trying to get him to bring him over to the United States to put him on trial and I guess set him up for the rest of his life in prison. So I think they're taking that real seriously.
Well, you know, I would love to think that we were far ahead in something that we didn't know about, that the public didn't know about. Because it seems like the history of our last 20 years is that our government keeps getting caught flat-footed. So I would love to go back to a time in my youth when I thought our government was up to a lot more stuff than we knew about. And I mean, in a positive way, like we were ahead of the curve on problem solving instead of always playing catch up. And so I hope you're right. And I think an interstellar Air Force sounds super cool. And thank you for the kind words. And let's get Ben from California on the wild card line, doing open lines another few minutes. Hey, Ben.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Where are you going to take us?
I'm going to take you my theory of why we're seeing the UFOs in over Crawford Ranch.
No, good.
I was going to say that they say that Bush and some of the other world leaders are blue blood. Have you ever heard that?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, and they came out of ancient Sumeria, where they're genetically engineered there.
Well, I hadn't heard that.
The first place of humanity, and they came out of there on the ancient.
Sumeria. I hadn't heard that. I hadn't heard a connection between the Bush family and ancient Sumeria. Certainly.
Oh, well, the blue blood race that was created to be the elite and roll
okay.
over us. So what I was thinking is that 2012 is coming up, and I think the blue blood race that's been under control of everything is beefing up security for 2012 of the planet and just getting all their dreadnoughts and our, like, battleships ready and stuff for to defend or to make an escape or something again, because 2012 is supposedly the end of quarantine on the planet, like a giant shield, like the IBM thing that's like the, just like a shield around our Earth, a dragon around our Earth that keeps the draconian race like trapped on this planet, the little remainder of their blood DNA that's here that they're in control of still.
So that's what 2012 represents to you, not the Mayan calendar, you know, end of the world.
Well, the Mayan calendar is just marked up to there because that was the time of the quarantine of the planet, the shield that keeps them trapped on this planet.
Okay.
It's gonna lift, and all of the entities from outside that are really good and on our side, the human being side, because like we're naturally a good creature, like we don't do negative things unless like somebody manipulates us into it.
Okay.
And we're like becoming at such a high vibrational level that they're going to land, and they already consider us in their family of entities of like 150 different species, and they're going to come in. They're going to land, but not on 2012 because we're not ready. They don't want to land until we're absolutely ready for them, like with our hearts and minds like ready to be brought in, which is going to be like 2045 or 2040, depending on how fast we like the quickening happens.
I wish I could be alive to see such a dramatic event, Ben. I'm sorry about that. I just going to try to get one other caller in, but that's interesting. I hope it happens in 2012, then I'll be here. If it's 2045, I'll have to prepare my kids for that. But thanks for that thought. I think we have time for Jake in Wisconsin on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, Jake.
Ian, how are you doing?
Good. How are you surviving all of this Brett Favre controversy?
Oh, man, it's crazy. I think he should come back, but a lot of people say that Rodgers needs a chance, so we'll see what happens.
I think he should come back as a tight end.
I think what he needs to do is coach.
I don't think he's interested. He might make a great coach. I think it'll be very interesting to me to see whether he can end up in a purple jersey.
that's the part we're
waiting for here, to see whether he could end up getting over to the Vikings on a trade. But anyway,
you wouldn't want to come up here and say that. But anyway. What I was going to say was I had a kind of a light take on your question about the Crawford Ranch UFO situation.
Yeah, tell me.
It's a weather balloon, of course. But, I mean,
no.
that's what it is.
At 532 miles an hour.
Oh, of course. I mean, you test our government, don't you?
Yeah, world's fastest weather balloon. Thanks. I think that gives us just time for Joy on the first-time caller line in Ojai, California. Hey, Joy.
And that was funny, that last call. Hey, I'm going to take you back to Woodstock, New York, August of 1972.
Sure.
I've tried to call many, many times to talk about this, and I even wrote a letter to one of the MUFON gentlemen, but never got a reply. I saw a massive mothership at about 1 o'clock in the morning. I was sleeping in the woods, waiting for a house rental to come forward. And my baby was asleep in my arms. And I looked up and I saw a fiery green light coming through the trees. I jumped up to see through the pine trees because I knew I could only see so much. And this thing took about 5 minutes to cross over, absolutely silent, no noise, nothing. It was massive. It was before Battlestar Galactica. It was before Independence Day. And I hadn't really read a lot about science fiction and ships. All I knew was I stood there and I looked at this thing. It was massive. I couldn't even see the sides. It was so big. And the thing that just struck me was it was so quiet. No sound at all. And I could see an undercarriage, and I thought 350,000 souls is what came to me.
Hmm.
And it went over. I ran up into the cabin where my friends were playing poker, and I said, you'll never believe what I just saw, and I told them my story, and they were all laughing, and
Well, we're not laughing, but I'm out of time. But it's very interesting, and I appreciate you getting through to share that. In fact, that might be the best introduction yet for Explorers of the Infinite, the paranormal experiences of extreme athletes. Wait to hear those stories next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett.